Hey, it's Tom Matthews from Return to Living Dead and Friday the 13th, part 6, to name a few. And you're listening to the Bean Joe Grizzly Podcast. Enjoy.
Let me introduce myself. I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.
What up and happy new year, Mean Militia. I am Mean Joe Grizzly, and when I'm not creating a murderous android to replace all parents, I'm over at the Grizzly Cave watching movies, reading comics, listening to metal, and of course, crushing beers. And to kick off the new year, I'll be bringing y'all my review of the latest release from Blumhouse Productions, Megan, the latest installment in the killer doll horror subgenre. But before we get started, I want y'all to take a second and follow the show on all social media platforms, as well as joining my Mean Militia on the show's official Facebook group by clicking the links down in the episode description. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the show on whatever platform y'all listen on. By doing this, y'all support the show and help me continue to talk to y'all about all forms of badassery. So, what does Megan do that all others haven't done before? Is it held back by its PG-13 rating? Let's talk about it. This is Grizzly Grade Reviews. Megan is the story of a little girl named Katie who loses her parents in a car accident and is placed into the custody of her young and career-driven aunt Gemma. Gemma works for a major toy company and is struggling to produce a new product for her company due to her obsession with her side project Megan, a damn near perfect lifelike android. Gemma is not prepared to be a parent and doesn't seem to want to be the guardian of Katie, at least not fully. But in an attempt to bond with Katie, Gemma has the idea to continue her work on Megan and to pair her with Katie, giving her a companion and an outlet to cope with her grief, as well as taking a lot of the caretaker responsibility off of Gemma's hands. But as most of these tales go, Megan's sophisticated AI is ever evolving, and along with an incident where Megan is essentially damaged, this leads her to becoming an obsessive homicidal menace that begins to kill off everyone who gets in between her and Katie's happiness. But we have seen this story so many times before in films like the Chucky franchise, where a child's toy turns out to be a malevolent force in some capacity, or in the other aspect with AI running wild. This has also been done many times before in films like the Terminator franchise. So what is Megan doing different? Megan is taking both of these concepts and bringing them down to a more personal level. Megan deals with the concepts of technology replacing parents, human relationships, and with the codependence and addiction to technology. On the surface, and honestly my first impression of Megan, is a blatant ripoff of 2019's Child's Play remake, which it 100% is, but again, it spores and dives deeper into these subjects, and not in the way that you think they would. Instead of having it straight in your face like the Child's Play remake, Megan takes a more organic approach and takes time building up to the reveal of Megan and her swift change from companion to evil killing machine. The stage was set and built up with the characters of Katie and Gemma to establish the theme and the overall message of the movie. We get to see Gemma be completely cold and uncomfortable with taking on the task of raising Katie and being a parent, and it interfering with her work and her career. And she finds ways to get out of interacting with Katie, like giving her an iPad or turning on the TV while she escapes to the garage to be with her work. Katie being quiet, reserved, and in clear emotional and sometimes physical pain from the loss of her parents, and she never finds any comfort until Megan. Megan becomes the most important person in Katie's life, basically becoming a surrogate big sister or even a mother, even going as far as to completely undercut Gemma's authority as the adult and so-called parent figure. And this is where we see the central theme of Megan start to emerge, technology replacing the parental figure. But in Megan's case, she takes it to an extreme level. She becomes obsessed with Katie, almost as much as Katie is obsessed with her, which of course leads to murder. I think that this is definitely the strongest trait of the film. It doesn't hit you over the head with the theme and the message, but instead presents it intelligently and organically. Megan herself is pretty incredible. I know that well before the movie even released, the trailer had this infamous hallway dancing scene, which quickly became a meme and an internet joke even. But it truly is amazing how they brought her to life. At first, I thought it was just a suit actor in a mask that was contorting her body, but it turns out that she was brought to life with a combination of animatronics, puppets, a suit actor, and a little CGI. Jenna Davis is the voice of Megan, and she does an incredible job of navigating the different tones and emotions that Megan displays without losing that machine slash computerized sound. And unlike what we've seen in movies before, where it was either too much emotion that it loses its effect, or too robotic sounding where it's corny and it takes all of the realism out of it, Megan is truly menacing and creepy, and at times she's terrifying. But then there's the flip side. In contrast, there are some scenes that are truly just goofy and cringy. There's the obvious hallway scene, and then there's scenes like her singing the 2010s hit song Titanium to Katie, which comes off as real cringy and even super uncomfortable. And even if that was their intended purpose at an emotional connection, it just doesn't work. And at times it's hard not to question some of Megan's abilities, because she seems to make them up as she goes. So, in a nutshell, Megan is a double-edged sword when it comes to her being a positive or negative aspect of the film. But one side is definitely sharper than the other, making her clearly a positive part of the film and without a doubt the star. And I talked about earlier how this movie is a clear ripoff of 2019's Child's Play remake, and that's definitely the case, but Megan is far superior to that version of Chucky. In fact, this is what I wanted if they were going to go with the whole out of control AI direction for that remake. But don't be confused. Megan, to me, as a movie, is not the superior film overall. It's got a better villain in Megan. The characters overall are more likable, even though some of them are definitely phoning it in. But there's one thing that puts it above Megan for me. And that's the kills. And this is where we get into the debate about whether or not horror can truly be effective at PG-13. And my answer is yes and no. In the case of Megan, it doesn't work. Megan is effective in building up a creepy and tension-filled atmosphere, as well as building and presenting a theme and message. But the cutting of the kills derails the tension and the effectiveness of the message because it lacks the gut punch. I say cutting because there were definitely some gnarly kills in this movie at one time, but they were clearly cut out and turned into these lame cutaway kills, which to a horror fan are the absolute worst. PG-13 horror films aren't a bad concept, and nor are they not effective in most cases. But when films rely on the gore and violence to deliver the peak or the release of tension, then it doesn't work. Movies like The Conjuring are a perfect example because they don't rely on violence to be the catalyst of tension and scares. But Megan definitely gets held back by the lack of gore. And I really wasn't going to talk about this, but there is one specific special or practical effect that really bothered me because it was really, really bad. And I haven't heard anybody talk about this, but there's a scene where Megan is, you see it in the movie where the bully is messing with the girl and she gets on all fours and crawls. Well, prior to that happening in the scene, there the little boy is on top of Megan doing God knows what, because he's a weird kid and just a bully. And he starts slapping Megan around, and Megan reaches up and grabs his ear, and she pretty much rips his ear off. Before she rips his ear off, his ear stretches like almost a foot before it tears off, and it looks horrible. It looks like bubblegum. And I just wanted to throw that in there, that that effect was absolutely terrible. But like I said before, Megan definitely gets held back by the lack of gore. And what further brings it down for me is the fact that the director, Gerard Johnston, has already confirmed that a scarier, more violent director's cut is making its way to Blu-ray, which makes this a double cash grab for Blumhouse. Now, I've been critical and I've praised Blumhouse, and I'm not against them making money. It's a good strategy to release a PG-13 cut to broaden the audience and to get Blu-ray sales from a gorier cut. And I'm also not against introducing younger audiences to horror, as like Megan is essentially a gateway horror movie, and I'm for that. It's bringing new members to the horror community, and I'm not against that. But it feels a little too shoved in our face for some reason this time. I don't know. I don't know. It just seems they could have just gave us the original cut to start with. But clearly they didn't have confidence in the film. After all, it was released in January, and most January movies suck, especially January horror movies. I mean, last year we got Scream in January, and that was a surprise, and it turned out to be not as good as I wanted it to be the second viewing, but that's a whole different story. Normally, January horror movies suck. So, I don't know, it just felt a little bit sleazy and double-dipping into our pockets. But, in all honesty, guys, this was the hardest film I've had to review in a while. Because it's fun, it has a cool villain, it has a great and effective message and delivery of that message. But then on the other hand, some of the characters are either hamming it up or phoning it in. Some moments aren't meant to be funny or awkward, but turn out to be just that. It's clearly a ripoff of the 2019 Child's Play remake, and it lacks a gut punch because there isn't any gore. I've seen this get so much praise from the horror community, critics, and even Rotten Tomatoes has given it a preposterous score of 95%. But for me, it was just okay. And a gorier movie would have been better. So for me, Megan gets a 3 out of 5 and is just barely a grisly grade guarantee. Go see it for yourself, make up your own mind, and then tell me your thoughts on the social media pages. And with that, we bring another episode to an end. Thank you all so much for your continued support. Without y'all, the show isn't possible. If you like this episode, please consider subscribing to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to click the links in the description below to follow me on all social media platforms. We got a couple things coming up at the end of January, and February is going to be a busy month with Ant-Man and the Wasp coming out. We got to do our explanation on Kang the Conqueror, and you got the new M. Night Shyamalan movie, Knock at the Cabin, coming out. It's going to be a lot of fun. I look forward to talking with y'all about those things. But until next time, remember, I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.